tax deductible and supports our efforts to evangelize. A year from now, will you remember that dinner or your gracious and selfless donation? Go to AveMariaRadio.net to find out more. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I want to follow up on what we've been talking about the last couple of days, reflecting on gospel readings that were given at Mass both on Monday and Tuesday this week. And what we're seeing is the unfolding of the ministry of Jesus as he goes forward and declares that the kingdom of God has come. The center of Jesus' preaching, it's interesting when you think about the center of Jesus' preaching and the center of the apostles' preaching and how they're intimately related but slightly different. Jesus came forward to preach the kingdom of God. What he came to do, literally, is to establish the reign of God the Father on the earth. He's come to break the hold of the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Satan. Literally, that's at war against the kingdom of God and God's purposes and God's plan for the human race. And that the devil, in many ways, reigns on the earth. The whole world, one of the apostles tells us, is in the power of the devil. And you can see it. Does it mean every single person is demonized like the story of the demoniac person? Absolutely not. It's obviously not the case. But what we see in this world, and it's not hard to see, especially these days, is the kind of constant resistance and the kind of perpetual temptation or seduction of a world that wants to lead human beings away from being attentive to God, believing in God, giving to God what belongs to God. In the world, we don't see the broader culture, the momentum of the world, living with a gaze toward God and human beings coming together in response to God, in response to the Son of God, opening their hearts to the kingdom of God. There's a constant battle to make that happen. There's tremendous forces at work seeking to distract us, seeking to cause us to not believe that God even exists, to ensure that God and the things of God are not present in our public life in any way, to make a kind of radical separation between the two. And we see the troubles that we're often in, how we're constantly facing wars and constantly facing political conflicts and conflicts between nations, conflicts between individuals. We're seeing corruption. We see sin. We see perversion of every kind amidst a lot of goodness, too. It's a mixed bag. It's weeds and wheat that are growing up. But the weeds grow because the enemy keeps cultivating the weeds. And the temptations are there. And we, as fallen creatures, because of the reality of original sin within us, we're susceptible to seduction. We're susceptible to lies. We're attracted to what's not good for us. We're attracted to sin. And sin makes us stupid. Sin makes human beings orient their lives away from God rather than toward God. So here's this battle. And Jesus came into this battle to establish and to plant the flag of the kingdom of God and to declare to the enemy, enough is enough. God's plan has begun in the person of Jesus Christ. There's no stopping it, and it will end for this earth when Jesus comes again in glory to judge the living and the dead. When Jesus returns, he will destroy all the work of the enemy completely once and for all. And the analogy has often been made about trying to think about the fact that the kingdom of God is already here, but it's not fully here yet. It's the already and the not yet of the kingdom of God, is how people describe it, that it's very clear that the kingdom of God is present. The church is a living sign of the kingdom of God. And the church is the place where the gospel of the kingdom, the good news about the kingdom and about our King Jesus, goes forth to the world. And the good news about Jesus is that he's the firstborn of a new creation. He's the king of the new kingdom of God, the whole order of God. God's purpose, plan, and intention for the human race is shown forth and is alive and incarnate in the person of Jesus Christ. And he came to do what Adam and every single human being basically has failed to do without his extraordinary help, and the extraordinary help of the Father is in the case of Our Lady, Mother Mary. Everyone else has fallen into sin, has been crippled by original sin, and is connived and cooperated with, and has been battling either against or has been just moving along with the stream in the world that resists God, the powers of the world, the flesh, and the devil. So Jesus came to plant the flag, and he's the first one to stand against it all and to break its power over human flesh. And he did it in his own life. Sin had no hold on him. Sin, the devil tempted him. The devil, thinking of the audacious pride of the devil in tempting Jesus in the desert. You see the heart of the devil, you could say, at one point where he promises Jesus. He said, look, shows all the kingdoms of the world and all the glory and all the power and all the gold. And he said, it's yours. I have the power to give the world to you, only on one condition. You kneel down and you worship me. That's the devil. He wants God to worship him. He wants to be God. He wants to try to dominate God. It's impossible and it's crazy, but that's how blinded he is by his own pride. And that's exactly what he wants to happen to you and to me. And in the case of Jesus, he came face to face. He doesn't come face to face to all of us. It does happen in some people's lives. But he's stealth. He works. He seduces. He tempts. He leads us to make decisions because he cannot control our free will. But he can seduce us to the point where we say yes to sin, and we can say yes to sin so habitually and so often that we develop vice in our powers of freedom, our spiritual powers of capacity to see clearly, our ability to exercise our will freely starts to become crippled, and it becomes tightened in a kind of bondage of sin, and we habituate our thinking, our habits, our emotional responses to things that literally are conforming to the kingdom of darkness. And it can get to the point, as in the story of the demoniac, it can get to the point where a human being can be almost completely enslaved to the powers of darkness. And it's real. I think sometimes people today say, oh, you know, the devil's not real. It's not real. It's imagination. And that the church doesn't even quite think about it that way anymore. That's simply not the case. Not long ago, I was reading again something that Pope Paul VI had written about the reality of evil and about the devil and what he's like. And I just want to read a little bit of this to you. Pope Paul said this. He said, there are many things we do know, however, about this diabolic world, things that touch on our lives and on the whole history of mankind. The devil is at the origin of mankind's first misfortune. He was the wily, fatal tempter involved in the first sin, that is, original sin. That fall of Adam gave the devil a certain dominion over man from which only Christ's redemption can free us. It is a history that is still going on today. Let us recall the exorcisms at baptism and the frequent references in the sacred scripture and in the liturgy to the aggressive and oppressive powers of darkness. The devil is the number one enemy and the preeminent tempter. At baptism, the prayer of exorcism is prayed over everyone who's baptized into Christ because literally we're born into a state of original sin, which is a kind of being under the power of sin and death and the exercise of the enemy who's seeking to lead the human race into that condition. And the church and its power and its authority standing in Christ is able to bring that deliverance. He goes on. He said, so we know that this dark, disturbing being exists and that he is still at work with his treacherous cunning. He's the hidden enemy who sows errors and misfortunes in human history. It's worth recalling the revealing gospel parable of the good seed and the cockle, for it synthesizes and explains the lack of logic that seems to preside over our contradictory experiences. And the enemy has done this. He's a murderer from the beginning, and he's the father of lies, as Christ defines him. He undermines man's moral equilibrium with sophistry, with philosophical lie, with deceiving us. He's the malign, clever seducer who knows how to make his way into us through the senses, the imagination, and the libido, through utopian logic and through disordered social contexts in the give and take of our activities, so that he can bring about in us deviations that are all the more harmful because they seem to conform to our physical or mental makeup or to our profound instinctive aspirations. So he then goes on to talk about how important it is to be awake and to fight the enemy, to put on the whole armor of God. And so Jesus came to destroy the work of the enemy, the Bible tells us. And he did that by establishing the kingdom of God. He brought the authority of God. He brought a new power, a power far beyond the power of the kingdom of darkness. And he's brought power, and through his own life, he's made it possible, first and foremost, not just for us to be able to hear the kingdom, but he's accomplished in his person what no human being could do. He broke the power of the reign of sin and death and the domination of Satan over human flesh, over human beings. Because of that slavery, the human race, as St. Paul said, lived without hope in the world and were destined for eternal separation from God. Jesus came to deal with that separation, which is really what death is, what eternal death is. And in himself, giving to God what belongs to God, dying on a cross for us in absolute obedience to the Father, that's what we mean by giving to God what belongs to God, in whatever circumstance, Jesus, no matter how terrible it got, he completely entrusted himself to the Father, knowing the Father was faithful, true, loving, and all-powerful. Jesus knew that the way to love the Father, and what you needed to see, and I needed to see, was that to love the Father means to obey the Father, to entrust our lives to him, not to have our own path, deciding on ourselves what's good and what we're going to do, but to have our hearts, your heart and mine, completely surrendered to God. That's what Jesus revealed to us. And through that act of love, love for the Father and love for us, that was revealed on the cross, Jesus broke the power of the rebellion of the devil and his power over human hearts. He shed his blood to cleanse us from the stain of all sin and to make forgiveness of sin possible so we could be reunited to God. We could be united to him as Jesus himself was united. And so Jesus died and rose again and declared his power over the enemy. He's now at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. And here's what Jesus told the apostles, and he wants you to hear and he wants me to hear very clearly and to internalize this in Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, some of the last words that Jesus gave to them. He said, "Go forth, go into the whole world and preach the gospel to all of creation. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." These are the works of the kingdom that Jesus is saying will continue in the world through the church, through those who are his disciples. And he makes it clear. Go and preach the gospel. Jesus preached the kingdom, that the reign of God had come and he was the king. The apostles preached Jesus' passion, death, resurrection, his ascension into glory. That God has made Jesus both Lord and Christ, and all authority in heaven and on earth now belongs to him. And that they've come in to bring the good news that Jesus is offering the forgiveness of sins through baptism, through faith, through believing in Jesus Christ. So Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." That's the ultimate healing and the ultimate transformation and freedom that Jesus brings us. Every one of us is called to extend that kingdom into the world, all those who are baptized into Christ. I'm going to talk more about that tomorrow. Have a wonderful day. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.
On the next Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio.
Coming up on a Wednesday morning, the latest on the Charlie Gard case and other breaking news. Plus, we'll take a look at why you might want to think about attending the Catholic Marketing Network next week. Our friend Alan Napleton joins us on a Wednesday.
Catholic Connection, weekday mornings at 8 a.m. on 990 WDEO.
If you've enjoyed Father John Ricardo's gift of teaching and preaching in the past, his new book, Heaven Starts Now, is the book for you. In his inspiring and incisive way, Father John addresses the obstacles we all face in becoming mature disciples. How do we learn to forgive? How do we combat fear and understand suffering? How do we worship the Lord, love others, and surrender our lives to God? How do we become saints?